Welcome to another week of the Brocast special recruiting episode, a very special episode. If you're old like me, you remember the very special after-school specials. Tracy McDaniel, Brandon Huffman, we are here while you or your students are in school to talk about UCLA recruiting for the second straight week, and something we plan to do more regularly because, Tracy, you covered UCLA for the last year and a half, 2 years. I've covered them for a while, and for the first time in a while, recruiting seems to be trending positively and actively. And, you know, just coming out of the gate, UCLA had their first big visit weekend. I think five commits came into the visit with their commitment to UCLA already done. One committed on that trip, Trey Hawkins, a player that you've covered from the jump with his interest in UCLA. He popped for UCLA. Your thoughts on Trey Hopkins and what his addition to the UCLA class means?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's someone who's just under 6'2", so he's got some good size on him. And now it begs the question as far as how many more they'll be taking, because I believe he's now their third corner, fifth defensive back overall. So that room's filling up really quickly. But, yeah, just another guy who – has some size, gives him a little bit versatility. It looks like he's more of a true corner, whereas someone like Jerry Outhouse could move around a little bit, possibly be a nickel corner. But yeah, a really solid pickup. Probably flies a little bit under the radar because, you know, aside from Penn State early on, his interest really kind of picked up a little bit later in the process. So, and then he's someone who committed, you know, right on the spot. I believe it was Saturday, so before the trip even ended, he already knew, kind of going in, that UCLA was where he wanted to be.
If you haven't checked out the front page of Bruin Report Online in the last, 2 hours, 3 hours, you will have missed a fantastic story that Tracy did on what exactly UCLA is doing on the official visits. And Tracy, I know you had a lot of fun kind of, you know, doing the dive into what was going on the visits. And, you know, what were some of the highlights that you took? What were some of the highlights that the players kind of emphasized that really made this visit so memorable compared to some of the more boring ones that were held in years past?
So the big thing as far as the change, right, because I think going in, everyone wanted to see what kind of twist this new staff, mostly new staff, would put on it. And it seemed like they really made a concerted effort to highlight all the aspects of Los Angeles beyond just, you know, the UCLA campus that the area has to offer them. They did it a little bit last year. Deshaun, I remember, did like a little private boat trip somewhere around Southern California. But other than that, you know, most of the trip was more of your basic official visit. Whereas this one, you know, they hit up Dodger Stadium and they kind of lucked out with that because the Dodgers were playing in Anaheim at the time. So, you know, the stadium was free to use and they were able to get in there. And obviously, they've got the UCLA connection there with, you know, Dave Roberts being the manager. So that probably didn't hurt. But yeah, you know, just seeing things like that. And then, you know, there was a day at the beach out in Santa Monica on Saturday that kind of closed everything out as far as their big grand finale. And, you know, they rented out a beach house and, you know, did some karaoke and some things like that. And another aspect that they kind of used to their advantage is someone who's actually connected to the program. So Nicole Lynn is for those who don't know, she's an agent with Clutch Sports. I believe she heads their football operations department from last I saw. And she's not only an NFL agent, but she's also the wife of UCLA Nichols coach Gabe Lynn. And so Nicole Lynn's one of the featured speakers for United Talent Agency based out in Beverly Hills. And not long ago, Uhila Wolfgram just got back to me, the Edge from Utah. And he mentioned that they actually took a tour out there. And I know Jackson Roper mentioned you, you know, getting to experience that as well. So, you know, just hitting up the various connections was very interesting in that way. And the other thing that they've done, Bob Chesney really wants to connect this program's past to the present and future. And so one thing they did was they connected with a lot of the alums. And one of the people who kind of helped spearhead it all, Richard Rodgers, his special assistant to the head coach, he's been kind of the alumni network connection for UCLA since he came over with Chesney. And he hit up Wayne Cook, Cade McNown, Anthony Barr, Eric Kendricks, a few others, and they were part of the Rose Bowl visit that they took. I believe it was Saturday. They, you know, sat down, had breakfast with them. Then all the former players also got up, told them not necessarily about just their experiences at UCLA, but their lives after football, after UCLA, and the connections that UCLA kind of afforded them. So I talked to Wayne on Monday afternoon, and he mentioned, you know, well, previously before, you know, including alums was, you know, against NCAA rules back in his day and that sort of thing. And so, you know, this staff is taking full advantage of everything they're allowed to do. And they're doing their best to showcase not just UCLA, but the different aspects of being around Los Angeles.
You know, one of the interesting things, too, is that we look at some of the past UCLA visits. I mean, there was a time under Chip Kelly where it wouldn't even be the 48-hour allotted visit. It would be a 24-hour visit. It would be they stay in Luskin. They would, you know, probably what, eat on campus, go to Panda Express or somewhere. There wasn't seemingly a focus on making that a important part of the visit. And interestingly enough, there was an article I read this week that was kind of like, how are the official visits different now for all schools when NIL is so prominent in the, you know, recruiting process, where, you know, you, some schools are saying we're doing the NIL talk at the beginning of the trip. Some are saying we're doing it on Sunday, but the days of the cookie cakes, you know, the fully decorated rooms are different. Now it's about, hey, let's enhance and highlight where you're at. But then, as you mentioned, you know, UTA visit, like that is a key part of it. And it's been fascinating to see how quickly UCLA has been up to speed, got up to speed on understanding the importance of it. But at the same time, you know, in talking to several of the players that visited, whether they were commits or recruits that are, you know, yet to make a decision, there was a common theme there. And it was the effusive praise for the organization of the trip, but the effusive praise for Bob Chesney. And, you know, that is something that, you know, we've seen a number of players say, whether it was guys that came into the portal, other visitors, but that seemingly is one thing that in an era where recruiting can be considered so transactional, where it's a, you know, my agent and the general manager can exchange numbers and then we'll determine if that school's a fit for me. There's still a feeling of, I want to know this coach is going to develop me. I want to know this coach is going to be the guy that's going to get the talent out of me and the production out of me. And that seemed to be a common theme from what the players were talking about from the non-activity portion of the weekend, was that connection, whether it was with Chesney, whether it was with the coordinators or position coach, that was probably, you know, raised more than any time I've heard in recent years.
Yeah, you know, I believe it was Troy Malo, the edge from Colorado. He mentioned how he enjoyed how direct Chesney was in their one-on-one sit-down with his family and that sort of thing. And, you know, and the other thing, someone who actually kind of helped document the things on social media and kind of helped me indirectly piece things together was Lex Milonge's dad. He kind of, you know, had filmed some of the their position meeting with the offensive line coach Chris Smith, and, you know, kind of showing them the film breakdown of things and that sort of thing. So yeah, they've really found a nice structure to it, and that's something that Troy had mentioned to me. He enjoyed the organization of everything and just kind of how, you know, there really was no wasted lull in the visit and that sort of thing. So the staff really did a good job of making sure they used up all the time that they were allotted.
You know, one of the other things that I think was evident this weekend is that UCLA wanted current players to be involved in hosting. And we saw a stretch there, you know, last year where there would be recruits who didn't necessarily have a player host. They were maybe hosted by an analyst, a recruiting staffer, but you know, we were seeing a lot of common names. I saw Cooper Jaworski was a host. Michael Price from Alabama, who signed in the 2026 class, he hosted Stafford Willis. So again, there seemed to be a concerted effort to have the players who were all part of, you know, this new regime kind of use their previous 6 months on campus as a selling point to say, hey, this is what you're going to expect, or this is what you should expect when you come here. And it seemed like kind of the more things change, the more things stay the same with bringing player hosts back into the mix.
Yeah, and then something that was really interesting, just because, you know, Chesney is new to the program, but he has some players who aren't necessarily new to him, right? Mm-hmm. Aiden Gabeiro being one of them, a James Madison transfer, and he was the host for Troy, you know, and just things like that that were, they could get the player perspective and from the, you know, past official visits that I've previously covered, players always, you know, always know that they're going to get the real information out of their fellow players. And mm-hmm. those are probably some of their more maybe under the radar aspects of the official visit that people don't really look at, is getting that one-on-one time with, you know, a group of players, you know, whether it be current players or guys who have already committed to the program and being around them. And that was another thing that Troy kind of highlighted, was he liked how the current commits on the trip, they were actively recruiting them, but they weren't being overly pushy about it, is what he told me. So, yeah, you know, that player component aspect of it all is definitely a key thing. And having someone like Aiden Gabeiro and some of these other James Madison guys who can kind of let these recruits know, you know, from years of experience with Bob Chesney, like, hey, this is how he is, this is how he's going to be. That's, you know, that those are some just invaluable things that an official visit can do.
Obviously, you know, you mentioned Jerry Atthaus. I mean, recruiting is fluid. That's a word that I know we like to use on the message board, but it is fluid. And, you know, we saw it last week. Tabita Nonu announces, you know, we report that he's not taking his visit. That afternoon, he announces the top five that doesn't include UCLA. The next day, he confirms that he's going to take that visit as originally scheduled. You know, we see guys that were expected to visit that ultimately commit elsewhere, and now those visits are off. Mason McDermott, four-star offensive lineman from Indiana, committed to Indiana. Darius Johnson was expected to visit in June. He committed to Michigan. So you're seeing some guys coming off the board with their commitments elsewhere. We also saw a couple of guys that were originally targeted. Remember, at one point, that visit list was supposed to have like 22, 23 names, and I think only 13 ended up coming because spots start to fill up. So we saw Ty Johnson come off the board. You know, earlier today, I talked to Christian Mimbara, the four-star cornerback from the state of Colorado, with UCLA having commitments from Jerry Atthaus and from Juju Johnson. And now Trey Hopkins, it's looking like that cornerback spot is filling up. So Mbari will not be taking an official visit to UCLA. But there have been a couple that have been kind of hastily added. One was Greg Vega reported on Monday. Christian Hanshaw, the tight end out of the state of Utah, will be taking his official visit to UCLA now, and that will be happening next weekend. They're off this weekend. But in no way, and I saw this, people freaked out. Is that something to read into Zach Fair's commitment? No, not at all. They wanted to bring in two tight ends in this class if they could. I know that people, the momentum was so positive, Tracy, that when Jackson Hill decommitted and flipped to Notre Dame, a lot of people were shocked. But that's going to happen when you're recruiting big boy football again. But they were able to add a visit with Christian Hanshaw. You know, obviously Matthew Gregory was kind of a newer addition to that visit list as well. Weston Hicks from Connecticut also expected to take a visit to UCLA. So expect these next couple of visit weekends to be a little bit, not bumpy, but to have some names that weren't initially on them on, and some names that were initially on to not be on them. One that we should probably keep a close watch on, and this broke on Tuesday morning, was Eli Woodard, the four-star receiver out of Chaparral High School in Temecula, decommitted from USC. Now, If Chaparral sounds familiar, it's because UCLA already has another receiver committed from Chaparral in Michael Kiko Farinas. And then there's also the quarterback at Chaparral, Dane Weber, who the Bruins are targeting. But I know you've been able to track Eli Woodard a little bit this spring. Miami is getting some buzz, Auburn getting some buzz, but I know this is a guy that UCLA had offered early and would love to bring a couple receivers and maybe their quarterback with them to Westwood.
Yeah, you know, a lot of this recruiting process, as you know, sometimes it's about, you know, recruiting the teammates, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, with Eli Woodard, his recruitment opening up, I believe the report was that obviously USC has this no visit policy for their commits. And I guess he wanted to take some visits and things kind of went from there. And the other thing you mentioned earlier was, you know, this getting into big boy football and you're going to lose some commits. I mean, just look at Miami, Oregon, and, you know, just kind of like they've constantly been in the news when it comes to flips and those two programs have been heavily involved, whether they're losing them or gaining them. This just kind of comes with the territory, and this is something that, you know, the staff isn't, going to be surprised about. And they know it's a long way till December, and that goes both ways, right? Like there are guys that are committed elsewhere that they could still, you know, be keeping their eye on should things open up. So but someone like Eli Woodard will be someone worth monitoring. I believe Miami's the other school that's also involved there. So he'll be a name to watch for sure. And you mentioned, you mentioned Lucas Roa earlier, losing a commit from Jackson Hill kind of opens up a spot there again at offensive tackle. So this whole process, especially when you get down to the last couple of spots, and because they had such a big official visitor list going into this whole process, it would not be a surprise at all to see names continue to fall off as they go into June. And if they can secure some more commitments at some positions where there are very few spots left.
We touched on real briefly Dane Weber, obviously being a teammate of Eli Woodard. You know, there's been some buzz that UCLA is continuing to pursue Brady Edmonds, gone down to watch him. And now, you know, Ohio State, where Brady Edmonds has been committed for, you know, over a year, went and watched Dane Weber throw earlier this week, and there's expectation that they're going to go watch him again. And, you know, a lot of times your best ability is availability. And with Dane Weber being one of the few uncommitted quarterbacks, the top uncommitted quarterback out West, you know, he's becoming more attracted to some schools that trying to figure out this quarterback situation. And obviously it's interesting because there's the added layer that Brady Edmonds is being pursued by UCLA if they don't get Dane Weber. Meanwhile, Ohio State is taking a look at Dane Weber in case they part ways. So a lot of layers there. We have the Elite 11 finals are next weekend down in Los Angeles. I know that Dane had initially hoped to have a decision by then, but he still has visits to Cal and to UCLA that he's going to take. So a lot of eyeballs there, but that is certainly one to keep an eye on. Does Ohio State make a move and offer Dane Weber? What does that do for Brady Edmonds if they do? So very fascinating what could happen there. Speaking of Brady Edmonds and Dane Weber, interestingly enough, when January got rolling, Bob Chesney and his staff, one of their first visits after Mater Dei, was to Huntington Beach High School to see Brady Edmonds. And their last stop was to go see Dane Weber and Chaparral. Then we had kind of a 3 or 4 month period where there was nothing going on. Well, last week, especially in Southern California and out in Arizona where I'm at, there were showcases galore. And Tracy, I know you and I were trying to figure out when we were going to be able to do the podcast last week, because I was between showcases. You were going to a bunch, but you went to some key stops, and I know you were one of the only recruiting people at one of those, and UCLA had a very heavy presence at that showcase.
Yeah, so back-to-back days, a large chunk of the staff, I want to say four assistants, were at Bosco along with general manager Derek Ray, And then the next day they were at Modern Day, and I want to say they brought about six or seven. And yeah, it was just a heavy, heavy presence. And that was I'd seen them have a similar presence in January when they went out to Modern Day as their first stop on the recruiting trail as a staff. But this was, you know, now that they're deeper into the recruiting process and they've got the relationships already kind of established a little bit, this was interesting just to kind of watch them and figure out who they were keeping their eyes on. Bosco was a little bit less of a surprise who they were watching. Obviously, Colin Lockett, very focused on DJ Tubbs, the 2028 receiver at Bosco, who's, you know, who's route running kind of just – It wows you every time you see him. I mean, you saw it at the Under Armour camp earlier this spring. And yeah, so he's someone that he was watching. I know there was who's the offensive line? Elijah Muller, I believe, is the lineman there at Bosco. You know, Leggy Suianoa, the defensive line coach, was out there, you know, kind of just watching the linemen as a group. I believe Elijah Tua is mm-hmm. another edge at Bosco that they were keeping an eye on. One player that they're just in the very, very early stages of kind of tracking that really caught my eye, though, was 2029 receiver Kuika, is it Moali'i?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the cousin of Koa Malaulu, the 2028 St. John Bosco quarterback. And I mean, he's already like 6'5", and he just looks like a man out there. So yeah, he was a really fun one to watch, and I'm sure as his recruiting process picks up, I imagine UCLA will want to stay involved in that one because he already looks like a major player in that class. But yeah, just, you know, kind of watching this staff go about it. Modern Day was the one stop where they were making some offers that they hadn't already made. They offered three 2029 recruits, two running backs, Mark Allen Jr., and then I believe it was Asir Nemhard is the other 2029 Modern Day running back they offered. But the recruit that they offered that just looked the part, you know, as soon as you look at him is 2029 defensive tackle Jacob Patassi. Mm-hmm. And UCLA, I believe, was his second offer. His first offer was not too long before that. It was Miami. And, you know, he looks like a guy that just lives in the weight room. And being such a young guy, you can already tell that, you know, he's got so much more room to fill out. And it's, you know, it's all muscle from what I can tell. And it was just, you know, just really interesting to see the staff, how laid back they are with the recruiting process and just how, you know, they're not, I mean, Bob Chisney kind of says it, they're not trying to sell anything. And that's the sense I got, just kind of, you know, kind of hovering around them and just kind of watching how they operate. You know, it was very casual conversation and, you know, just, you know, getting to know the recruits, that sort of thing. I believe Mark Allen is from the Detroit area, and I had overheard a defensive coordinator, Colin Hitchler, ask, like, oh, so you're a Lions fan? And, you know, just little things like that to kind of, you know, create some conversation and do it in a very natural way as they learn more about these kids. But, yeah, that week was just really eye-opening, just to get a real sense of just how this the staff operates on the recruiting trail.
13 visitors over the weekend, six either were committed or committed on the trip. So about half of, there was a few of their visitors that aren't committed anywhere yet. Jacoba Doya, Tavita Nonu, Ohila Wolfgram, Elijah Juan Houston, Lex Bailongi, and Stafford Willis were among the uncommitted. Troy Malo as well. You know, you talked to Malo, you talked to Ohila Wolfgram. I talked to Doyle, Nonu, and Willis. Nonu, I don't anticipate will end up in this class. I think his top five was a pretty good indicator of where things at. Doyle, UCLA definitely impressed, but they still got to weather those visits to Oregon and Washington. Stafford Willis, he had planned to take multiple visits, said he may only end up taking a couple. But raved about the connection with Chris Smith, as well as Michael Price. you know, what was kind of the feedback that you were getting from Wolfram on that visit, you know, aside from what the activities were, just in terms of his connection with the coaches?
He mentioned that the, because I guess he had been out there for a spring practice, and one of the first things he said was the energy of the practices very much carried over into the energy of the visit. And that was one thing that Wayne Cook actually brought up, just being around the staff, that, you know, there's nothing fake or disingenuous about the way they're so, you know, enthused about, you know, being at UCLA and what they want to build. So that was one of the big things he said. And let me see what else he had said here. He basically just said, you know, he was talking mostly to the position coaches and just get a better feel for the bond and the culture that they're trying to build at UCLA. And those are some things that, you know, really stood out to him. But he's another one that's, you know, continuing to go through the process. And I believe BYU, Oklahoma are two schools in there with him, and among a couple others. But I think those are the two, I guess, main contenders that UCLA would have to battle with to land his commitment. But seems like they're in a pretty good spot right now. And then we'll have that story up a little bit later today. This is what, Tuesday. So by the time you're listening to this, that should already be up.
All right. Well, busy weekend at UCLA. They'll take this weekend off to basically reconvene Memorial Day weekend, and then four visitors coming in next weekend, and we'll dive into more of those four visitors next week. But just if you haven't been keeping track at home, those four visitors are Matthew Gregory out of Pennsylvania, and Christian Hanshaw out of American Fork, Utah, and then two commits, both receivers, both in-state, Kingston Selfie out of Calabasas will be coming in for a visit, as well as Folsom receiver Rob Larson. So it sounds like Colin Lockett is going to be very busy next weekend with three of those four visitors, receiver, and then obviously tight end. Obviously busy week two as well for Dean Kennedy and the offensive side of the ball. But I'm sure they will enjoy kind of this relatively relaxing weekend, and then with those four visitors next weekend, and then it gets back up to, I believe, nine the weekend after in that first full weekend in June, and then they'll take off the second weekend of June. Then the final weekend, a dozen visitors are expected, but as we mentioned earlier, there will be some names that aren't on those lists right now that will be added, and there will be some names that are on the list right now that will be nuked at some point. But we will have that covered. Tracy's got a extensive list that he's been keeping track of since, January or February, yeah, of those visitors expected. So again, fluidity is a key part of recruiting, but a lot going on, a lot to be encouraged by, a lot to still keep tabs on. And next weekend, we will preview the following visit weekend and then the Elite 11 finals, where UCLA has at least one target in the event in Dane Weber and a potential second target in Brady Edmondson. Shoot, there might even actually be a third target. I think Colt Nussmeier was selected to the finals, and he set two of his official visits. He's always trying to get a third. And if anybody caught Jerry Outhouse's comment in his trip recap, he said he's quietly working on a quarterback, and in case it's not Dane Weber, well, I wonder who that might be, because Colt Nussmeier comes from the same state that Jerry Outhouse does. So a lot going on. Tracy will have you covered extensively and expansively. I'll have recaps. Greg Biggins, Adam Gordy as well. But this is the fun stuff, guys. We could talk football, spring practice, basketball recruiting, baseball previews, softball. We'll let Dave and Tracy do that. We talk for the good stuff in May. So we will be back next week. For Tracy McDaniel, I'm Brandon Huffman. Thanks for watching and listening. Mostly listening.